this, you can blow with that. You can blow with this, or you can blow with that. You can blow with this, or you can blow with that. You can blow with us. You can blow with this, you can blow with that. You can blow with this, or you can blow with that. You can blow with that.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley Podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns here with Matt Ferencik and Matt Provenzano. How are you guys doing with the very mediocre Yankees?
Showing mediocrity.
Yeah, I feel like that is the appropriate reaction.
Or flipping coins to decide if they'll win.
Yeah, I was just saying before the podcast started recording, the Yankees have been never been worse than two games under 500 this year, but they've never been better than seven games over 500. So they've been just floating around in the same range of 10 games all year long. Even though they've had a few like five-game winning streaks and losing streaks, they just don't really decide to go one way or the other.
Yeah, that's really the story of the season.
I don't want them to be the Astros, but if the games they lost were like lost in an Astros way, where they're like throwing the ball all over the place, I could deal with that, 'cause that'd be funny. But the games they lose, they're just like, oh, they got four hits. Okay.
Yeah, or they like blew a good pitching performance, like with Michael Pineda on Friday, and then Shane Green on Sunday. Neither of those pitchers allowed an earned run, and yet they lost both games because the Yankees didn't score. Granted, against James Shields and Yordano Ventura, were both really good, but still.
Yeah.
Vintage 2014 Yankees.
But it's funny, it's still very funny that they're not going to be that far off from where projections have them being.
No, and they won't be far off from what they did last year either. They might end up with the exact same record.
Yeah. And people were calling everyone at Pinstripe Valley kind of crazy. Like, how could you think they're not going to win over 90 games? Like, it's impossible. They added so much. And I think that a part of us kind of expected this to happen. We were just, like, hoping, like, that it wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not completely unsurprising, but at the same time, it's still kind of disappointing.
Yeah, and it's just...
It's just boring.
Well, yeah, that was pretty much the crux of my column the other day. I was talking about, like, this is just not an entertaining team to watch, especially with Tanaka hurt, and now Brett Gardner's hurt as well. So the amount of, like, watchable players has dwindled to Jacoby Ellsbury, Dylan Betances, Michael Pineda, as David Robertson.
Pretty much, yeah.
None of that.
You might get, like,
yeah,
every other day you'll get, like, a 2-for-3 performance with someone. But, yeah, other than that.
Mm-hmm. Even though I like some of the half-season rental guys they've had, like McCarthy and Headley, I don't know if they'll be on the team past this year, so does it even matter?
Yeah, it's hard to get excited about them. They're fun. They're so much fun to watch. I love watching Headley and McCarthy play. They're great, great players, but...
I also love seeing McCarthy tweet.
Yes, that is also fun. I'm glad that will continue regardless.
I like when he tweets at Ken Tremendous.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. It's just not a very entertaining team to watch, and we're just kind of stuck with it. So pretty much at this point, we're riding the storm out to the end of the season. It's only a few weeks away, and unlike last year, when you know it's still an unwatchable team, but at least we had the opportunity to cherish, like, you know, the final days of Mariano Rivera. Because Mariano Rivera was still kicking ass last year, and every save... And if you might remember last year, like, when the Yankees were still on, like, the fringe of playoff contention, Mariano Rivera just pitching, like, multiple innings several times that September, trying to keep them in it.
Yep.
And he was awesome, but it's not the same with Jeter.
I think also they were in playoff contention longer last year, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, kind of, a little bit.
Yeah. I think that they're going to be eliminated probably like by next week, and I think that last year they were in it until like mathematically until like the last week of the season or something. But it's annoying just because last year you had an idea that the Yankees were going to spend big in free agency, and they were going to try and get Tanaka, and like there was like you knew the team was bad that year, but you're like, all right, well next year they're going to like it'll get better. And essentially they've improved them. They're going to improve themselves by like 4 wins from the year prior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Pythagorean records. Now you're like, okay, so now they don't have as much financial flexibility and they kind of have to improve by like 7 wins or like at least 5.
Yeah, and like this, I was also saying, like, this isn't really a team that looks like it's just like one or two pieces away from, you know, actually being a legitimate playoff contender, or a big threat in the AL, just because there's so many flaws, and they can only take you so far. I know they had bad pitching luck this year, but they also had good pitching luck with a bunch of guys overperforming, and like Shane Green, and even Chase Whitley for a little while, and Chris Capuano until tonight. So,
yeah. And you don't know if that pitching luck is going to continue.
Yeah.
That's like, the well's going to run dry eventually, and you just can't, pull these people out of nowhere, and they just are good. Like, Chase Whitley was good for, a month, somehow.
Yeah, well, same way, Yennier Vesalarte was good for, a month.
Yeah, that doesn't usually happen. Usually, a team will just call someone up, they're just bad, and then that's it. So, they get lucky, and I guess, Grant Brisby described them as, a zombie team. That's kind of what they are. Even when they're bad, they just somehow find a way to be, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep themselves in it for as long as possible. Yep. But the team doesn't really have any direction, or I don't really know. I could not tell you where they're going to be, in 5 years from now. Or, you know, the only people that I could say for sure they're going to be on the team in 5 years are people who are signed to long-term contracts. Other than that, I couldn't tell you who's going to be on the team or what the team's going to look like. It's probably going to look completely different.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are a lot of nice prospects, but you never now really know what's going to happen with them. So,
yeah.
But hopefully that will include Masahiro Tanaka healthy and pitching. He's still rehabbing from the partial tear of the UCL, and it seems like he's going to pitch a minor league. It's not a minor league rehab game because minor leagues are done at this point, but it's like a minor league simulated game. So it seems like they want to determine if he's able to pitch this year, which makes some sense, because then they can just decide, okay, well, if he's not ready, then we'll just have him do the Tommy John, instead of, letting this linger into 2015. So.
Yeah. And that's good. And at least he'll have the winter to rest, too.
Yeah. And even though he might be coming back to the Major League team, it's not good. He's not going to be coming back, the Masahiro Tanaka that started the season. I'm sure he'd be on a tight pitch count, and there'll be... And the only reason he would be pitching at the Major League level pretty much is because, there's no minor league rehab starts left to do, so...
Yeah.
It'll
basically be, a rehab start at the Major League level.
Which for him would be, he'd be fine.
Yeah. Again, if...
He wouldn't care.
Yeah, again, if... We've talked about this on this podcast before, but if we could just get Tanaka back on opening day next year, and he doesn't end up needing the Tommy John, then I'll consider this a win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that would also give him a legitimate shot at trying to get a postseason spot. I think a lot depends on whether he's healthy or not. Because if he gets hurt and he's out for all of 2015, where do you get that production from? You're just not going to get it. He's a part of it.
You might be able to, replace it with, a John Lester or Max Scherzer, but that's...
Or even Brandon McCarthy or something like that. Like, they'll try to piece it together.
Yeah.
It's just not...
But that's not
going
to come
same.
Up, and that's you're not going to get the extra boost that you need to get into, the playoff contention.
No, because if you just, watch the team when Tanaka was pitching, they looked like a really good team. Even when they scored, only 3 runs, they just looked like a good team.
Because Tanaka, almost always made it stand up.
Yeah, exactly. So they didn't need to even... That's why I get kind of bothered when people are like, oh, but, offense is down and aces don't matter. And, they do, because, Tanaka, just never let up more than, 2 runs. Even a bad offensive team could usually win when that is the case.
Yep. Well, and as I mentioned, another guy who we might not see again this year, Brett Gardner, the abdominal strain, sounds like... They think it's very possible that he could be done for the year. Carlos Beltran was pulled out of the lineup late today with elbow problems again. And they said that he's going to rest a couple days. But if it's still not good, then they're not going to bother with another cortisone shot, which I think makes sense at this point. And then they just shut him down. So, just 2 more bullets out of the lineup. Who needs them? you know. Gardner, obviously, a lot more exciting, but still.
Yeah, well, I think we should hit the reset. Yeah, we should hit the reset button at this point.
Yeah, just so many players gone. Martin Prado's not in the lineup. He was having hamstring problems. He was hitting really well, so that was just like, oh, well, of course he's out of the lineup now because he's like the hottest hitter. But at least Prado's under contract for the next year. I'll be curious to see what he does in like a full season.
Yeah, I'm really happy he's with the team. I think that he's just going to give the team so much flexibility. Like, they have an insurance package if Beltran isn't healthy because he can play right field, and B, if Ref Snyder like just isn't good at the major league level, he can play second base.
Or C, if A-Rod breaks, then Prado can play third.
Yes, so I believe that there'll be a combination of those things going on, and he'll be able to play third, second, and right field.
Yeah, if he can be Ben Zobrist light, then that's great. That are so valuable.
I mean, the thing is there were a few seasons where he was like as good as Ben Zobrist.
Yeah,
That's why I mean, he was really good as recently as 2012. He had an unbelievable season, and he's still had a pretty good season this year.
Yeah, he's all right.
I mean, he's a major league regular type of player, and that's something the Yankees like really don't have. They don't have many of those. So if he plays in right field or even a second base, he's like an amazing upgrade over a Brian Roberts.
What do you mean? Ichiro is the team's best hitter.
Yeah, he just hits. You know, he hits everything.
He got that hit tonight.
Yeah, look at him. He's hitting
the friggin' bizarre like pitch that was practically in the dirt. I mean, I'm sure that's actually part of Ichiro's skill, and that's just, even though he's not really good anymore, yeah, it's still a marvel just to watch him hit when he actually is able to pull one of those off, because that was just what he did for so many years at the Mariners, and it's just amazing.
That hit tonight literally was like, he took a golf club and like put a golf ball like on the green.
It's like, oh, yes, Ichiro is a nice approach. It's over the bunker. And I'm using up all my golf terms as well now, so.
I love a shout out to Birdie.
I know, mini golf.
Yes. You got it over the clown face.
I would go mini golfing with Ichiro.
He would just be cursing in Spanish. Fun.
Yes. Well, that's like, that'd be half the fun. Well.
I mean, in general, going back to the point we're talking about with just the layout of the roster next year, if you look at just their position players, there are a few question marks, but if they do sign a decent shortstop, you know, like a Hardy type, they would have pretty decent position players almost everywhere. And that's not bad, to be honest. I mean, it depends on how much they hit, but you'd have like major league regulars at most positions. And that obviously depends on whether A-Rod is a person that will play. It depends on whether Beltran will be Beltran, and it depends on whether Ref Snyder is going to be good. Mm-hmm. So obviously a few question marks, but there are a few places where I feel pretty confident. And I think that they should also make it a priority to sign a backup first baseman. I think they made a big mistake not signing Mark Reynolds.
I think one of the problems there is, that Mark Reynolds was looking for a job where he could play more than like the Yankees would be able to offer him. And he has played a lot more in Milwaukee than like he would have been playing here.
No, that's true. They could have easily like bought that out though. They could have been like, well, we'll give you more money. I guess he felt that he wanted to then audition for a bigger contract.
Maybe. Either way, I'm not like heartbroken about Mark Reynolds.
No, I'm not heartbroken, but I think that with Teixeira basically being like, he's had a very, very bad half season, but I think in general he's not a terrible player when he's on the field. And I think that it's to be expected. He's going to play like 110, 120 games from now on. So like, who's going to play the other 40, 50 games?
Well, maybe if they do bring back Chase Headley, then you could have him, because he can cover first base, it turns out, pretty decently. I mean,
that's true.
He's very valuable at third base, as we've seen, but it's nice that he has that flexibility. Either way, we can talk about off-season targets shortly. But for now, I thought it would be a good idea if we could do an exercise where we run through the Yankees roster, talk about guys, like, do you think they should bring him back next year? Do you think you should part ways? So we won't go through everyone on the roster because, like, with guys like Jacoby Ellsbury, Carlos Beltran, Brett Gardner, obviously they're going to be back because they're under a long contract. So, but I think it would make sense to go through some of the guys who might be free agents or might be just expendable. So, yeah, does that sound good to you guys?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yep, let's do it.
All right. Dylan Betances. I think he can stay.
No. I don't want him. Trade.
Convert him to starter.
Trade him for Stanton.
Oh, my God. Chris Capuano.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wrote an article about this, and it will be posted on the site soon. And I'm saying yes, because Chris Capuano is not only – he's not good, but he's not bad. And if we assume the injury bug, which I think we should, he would be pitching, and he would not be bad. It would be better than digging into the depth that may not be there. So, and he wouldn't be expensive either. So I'm for that.
I wouldn't be opposed if it's like obviously it's not going to be a big deal, but yeah, if it get a relatively cheaply, I wouldn't be opposed.
They paid Brendan Ryan a decent amount of money, and he, like, doesn't play. Like, they can pay Chris Capuano a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
He seems like a guy that he could come out of the bullpen, even. I mean, that's what he's doing with the Red Sox before. And he seemed like, even though the Red Sox cut him after a while, he seemed pretty good in that role at the start of the season. And it'd be nice to have that, like, flexibility. I'm not certain. I could understand if they wanted to part ways, but I'd be intrigued to talk to him at least, even with that terrible start today. I don't really have confidence in him as a starter, but as a spot starter, I guess it's easy to get a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's going to be, though. I mean, he's not going to be pitching more than 75 innings, to be honest.
Right, and
so
ideally,
yeah,
the Yankees will be able to take care of their pitching next year. Obviously, we don't really know, but yeah, so Capuano's legitimate maybe.
Definitely maybe.
Definitely maybe, yeah. That's what he is. But yeah. I would take that for $2 million.
Preston Claiborne. I think he's probably going to go back to AAA again.
Yes, and will be the king of AAA, the lord.
The lord of Scranton. Thanks for today, though. That was nice. Two scoreless innings.
Yeah.
Not go back to whence you came.
It was just throwback, you know. And maybe, you know, if he's not crap, he could come back to the regular bullpen, but probably not. I don't really have confidence in him anymore.
Nope.
No. Shane Green. I mean, obviously, he'll be back on the Yankees. Well, actually, I shouldn't say obviously. They could always trade him. But I would like to see Green in the rotation again. He's been pretty tremendous.
I'm curious to see what he would do in a full season.
Yeah, my guess is he'll probably maybe start the season next year as, like, the fifth guy.
Yeah, like, he's in kind of an odd spot because he actually was, like, you know, way down on the depth chart. He wasn't really supposed to be starting in the majors this year, but he really impressed during spring training, pitched okay at AAA, and then next thing you know, he's in the big league rotation. And I don't know if this is just, this could very well just be small sample size weirdness with, like, a rook through 12 career games at this point. He's pitched great, but I'd certainly be interested in seeing more of him in spring training. Maybe give him a rotation spot, but I guess that just very well depends on if the Yankees go out and get anyone in the offseason who's healthy. I think he could end up in kind of like a David Phelps role at the beginning of the season.
I agree. He will definitely pitch. He will definitely pitch a decent amount because somebody's going to get hurt or something's going to happen. He's going to have to pitch. So we'll definitely see him if he doesn't get traded, but it'll be interesting to see what he does in a larger sample, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Rich Hill. Well, no.
No. That's all. We can move on.
Preferably not, no.
And they could say go the same for David Huff.
Yes, we can move on.
This is just the mop committee. Well, might as well roll Josh Outman, Chaz Rowe in with them as well. Like, what are you guys?
What are your priorities?
Yeah, maybe one of them will be like a non-roster invite. I mean, they keep bringing David Huff back into the organization, so who even knows? Yeah. They let him go once. They're not going to lose him again.
Yeah, they have a weird thing about that with, like, Mops. Like, yeah. They just brought Mitre back.
Yep.
They bring, like, Godan back.
Brought Aceves back. Before he went crazy.
Yeah, him too.
Okay, well, Sean Kelly will obviously be back. Kuroda.
Yes, I say yes.
I mean, yeah, probably, I'd probably lean yes, if he wants to.
I'm less than sold on Kuroda. I know that it's hard to come by guys who can be consistently productive like Kuroda, but I'm just uneasy about him because he'll be turning 40 in February next year, I believe, and he's already... and we don't know, who knows if we're going to get one of these like fades again, and... I don't know. It's just uneasy. I definitely wouldn't want to give him like $15 million again like you got this year. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'd explore options.
Yeah, definitely explore it, but it would be interesting. And I think that, again, it goes back to the idea of the depth of the team. Like, he may not be good, but he's depth, and I wouldn't give him a lot of money, but...
Like he hasn't pitched as well as he did last year, so he's
not gonna get $15 million again. Absolutely not. But like if he got something like 10 or 7,
yeah,
somewhere in that range, you know, that wouldn't be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a very real possibility that he might decide to retire or just go back to Japan. It seems to always be a question with him. So yeah. If he does decide to leave, thank you for the 3 years, Hiroki. You were fun.
Yes, that was he was one of my favorites.
That's fun.
Yeah, Brandon McCarthy. I think it's no secret that we all want him back.
Yes.
Hashtag
sure.
Resign McCarthy.
Yeah, and obviously we have no idea what kind of contract he's going to be getting or what kind of contract he's even going to be looking for. I'm sure he's happy to have this nice run with the Yankees at the end of the season that's going to probably earn him a few extra dollars. But, I mean, I think I'd be willing to do a 2 or 3 year commitment with him for, I don't know, somewhere in the over $10 million per year. I think he just deserved that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interesting to see if his agent is LSW. Yeah, I think that would be possible to put a vesting option in this contract, you know, because of the injury concerns.
Yeah, and I think that'd be... I'm sure probably a bunch of other teams that would be looking at him might do the same thing, so...
Yeah. So, if it's like a 2-year contract, and then on this, like, he has to compile at least, like, I don't know, like 300 innings, at least, between the 2 years, to vest for the third.
He's had his problems staying healthy, but I think he's also been, for the most part, healthier over the past 4 years or so. Other than, like, you know, rehabbing from that smashed line drive to the head. Small little thing.
Yeah.
So
I think also to note is the fact that I think that he likes living in New York, to be honest. Like, I think that him and his wife like being in New York City, and they like living here, and seems that he seems to get along with the team, and it seems like he likes the team. It doesn't seem like he hates being here. And I think that's a big part, is like liking where you are. Because a lot of them do come to New York City because they want to live in New York City with the Yankees. So,
Chris, I think it would also be very hard for us to be like, oh, well, yes, he hates here.
Well, there are some people who do hate it with the Yankees. And you could tell, like A.J. Burnett did not like it in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could just tell, like, guys like that, like, he hated it so much. But, like, Brandon McCarthy does not feel that way at all. And it's partially because he's pitching well. I don't know if you feel the same if he was pitching poorly. But at the same time, you can tell he's enjoying himself while he's in New York instead of... I'm not saying Arizona's bad or anything, but I think they like the change of scenery and, like, city type of setting. So, I think that he wouldn't be totally opposed to coming back either. You know, at the right deal.
Yep. Okay. Next, Brian Mitchell. He'll probably go to AAA again. I'm curious to see more out of him.
He's definitely going to be.
He might be the Shane Green for next year.
Yes, because he intrigues me a lot. Because I was never that high. I think he's like a very fringy prospect in my mind. But at the same time, I think the Yankees value him incredibly highly because they turned down that trade with the Mariners, which was Brian Mitchell for, I believe it was Dustin Ackley.
Yeah.
Which isn't, I mean, Dustin Ackley is not a great player, but like Dustin Ackley is still a player that has proved himself at the big league level to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which Brian Mitchell has not done yet. So that means the Yankees must feel that he's capable of being better than Dustin Ackley in terms of how much value, which that intrigues me a lot because that would make him a good player.
It seems like in AAA, for the first time, his stats were finally lining up with his repertoire, which we've heard about so much, but the stats just were never there. But then in AAA, for whatever reason, it started to come together. So maybe he turns into nothing next year with more time in Scranton, but maybe he becomes next year's Shane Green. Though, of course, in the ideal world, next year we have to worry about a Shane Green having to come up from the minors to save the rotation.
Yeah, but at the same time, make me feel better about them.
After these 2 years, I expect nothing.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Because I would feel bad if he turned nothing, and like they could have at least had Dustin Ackley to provide some insurance at second base or shortstop or whatever you want to do. I mean, he wouldn't be great at all, but he's not a bad player. That's why I really question how teams value their prospects and stuff, because, you know, proven big league talent is still hard to come by.
Yep.
So I'm going to have my eye on him, obviously, because that's definitely something that you don't blink twice at unless you're like, I'm sure that this guy's going to be good.
Mm.
So.
All right. Ivan Nova, we'll see him probably like mid-year 2015. Obviously, just that Jack has come back from Tommy John surgery. So, yep, baby steps. Next, David Phelps. He's also rehabbing an injury. They're not as serious. He'll probably end up doing the same thing yet again next year, where he's in the bullpen, possibly a rotation option if someone goes down. He's not terrible in the rotation, but he's not really a guy that you want to be penciling in spring training either. Like, honestly, if it came down to, like, choosing between David Phelps and Shane Green, I'd probably try Shane Green before I put Phelps in.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Pineda, cross the fingers, hope he stays healthy, and he's in the rotation, so.
Yes.
If only we could get a season, period.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. David Robertson.
Yes.
Yes, I do want Gerard back.
We all want things.
I want him back, but I'm very nervous.
Yeah, I don't know. Just I'm uneasy with how they seem to be approaching things. But, you know, I guess I was also uneasy how they're going to approach things with Gardner, and they'd end up extending him. Well, obviously, we're past the point of extension for D-Rob, but maybe they're talking to him behind the scenes about, like, contracts they might offer. I don't know.
We don't know, but
I really hope so.
As much as I'm sure Dellin could step into the closer's role, I would really like to have Robertson there as well, just because he's such an elite reliever, and those are very difficult to come by, and he's been doing this for, like, 5 years now, so.
Yes, that's, like, nearly impossible in the reliever world, so.
Mm-hmm. We are Team D-Rob, so. Esmeel Rodgers.
Actually, yes.
I know the Yankees seem to like his fastball a lot, but I don't know.
I mean, he's a mop-up guy at the moment, but you never know how quickly these guys make their way into the quote-unquote circle of trust.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's not even really going to really cost him anything. He's like a 24th man on the roster, so if he stinks, they could just cut him.
Yep.
So, I to keep him and see what like ride this as long as it lasts, and this, and then the second he starts to tank, just get rid of him.
I'd be curious to see if they don't offer. I mean, he's ARB eligible now, so I'd be curious to see if maybe they don't offer him arbitration, but they re-sign to another deal or something like that. If they did want to bring it back, and it does seem like Girardi likes his stuff, but I'm not personally that convinced. But it seems like he'll probably be at least in spring training next year.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
CeCe, well, hope the knee doesn't die.
R.I.P.
God.
Yeah, hopefully his career isn't over. That would be nice.
What support? Tanaka, we already talked about. Adam Warren, he'll be back in the bullpen, I'm sure. Chase Whitley. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Those first few starts were nice, but I just don't know if I'd buy that continuing.
No, I don't.
And I don't know if I even trust him that much at the big league bullpen. I mean, maybe if they have to like fill it out, sure, but maybe...
I think he's a mop-up guy. He's like in the Ismael Rogers
category. Like we've been talking about some of these guys, like Capuano, Rogers, Whitley. I think they're all in kind of like the same category of like, well, maybe they'll make the team as the mop. That's about it.
A spot start here and there. Like, but, that, you know, in that role, they'll be serviceable.
Yeah. Or maybe he'll just go back to AAA or something like that, which is fine, too. I mean, they need to just be...
That would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll just get rid of him.
No.
No, the Yankees enjoy players on the 40-man roster too much to do that.
Cough, cough, Slade, Heathcott.
Jose Campos.
R.I.P.
What are you guys doing here? Okay, position players now. McCann's obviously back. Francisco Cervelli. He's probably coming back, I would think.
He has no trade value. That's
I would imagine.
What people are thinking. No one wants him.
Yeah, like, they were trying to get some value out of him at, like, the deadline from the White Sox, or someone who... The White Sox have, like, nothing, and they're just like, nah, you can keep Cervelli.
It's the thing is, like, Cervelli is a pretty good catcher. It's just, he's just always hurt.
Yeah.
Always hurt. If he wasn't always hurt, he would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I could imagine him being, like, Russell Martin light if he wasn't always hurt.
Mm.
But you gotta stay on the field to be a good player, usually.
Yeah, it's incredibly important. And what's weird is that just a few years ago, he played 93 games at the big league level as Posada's backup. And, like, I can't even fathom him playing that many games at this point. Just because he just doesn't stay healthy. But as far as backup catchers go, as you said, he'd be fine backing for McCann. John Ryan Murphy wasn't exactly forcing the matter this year, unlike last year. So.
Yeah, but I think he's still in it, because he's still pretty young. He's like 23.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Murphy will probably stay on the roster. I think they'll like having him down at AAA as an option. Well, like right now, when Cervelli got hurt. I guess technically they brought up Romine, because Murphy was already on the roster for September call-ups. But earlier in the season, when Cervelli got hurt, they just were able to call up Murphy, and he was a fine backup catcher for McCann for like a month there. So
yeah, they have backup catcher depth.
Plus,
the wazoo.
They love his defense. Yes. I can understand that.
Well, yeah, that's where his value is. His bat's going to be but it's all in his glove.
Plus, he brings them great oil ventures.
Yeah, see? We hit some oil, see?
Guys, one of those like giant like oil tycoon like white Tetson convertible things.
Yes, I'm very curious to see if they're going to keep going with like five catchers on the 40, because I mean they still have Gary Sanchez isn't going anywhere unless they decide to trade him. But I wonder if they might just cut ties with Austin Romine if they don't want to keep five catchers on the 40 anymore, which I would understand.
I wouldn't be wholly opposed. Austin Romine's not really worth anything.
No,
I think. My guess, maybe they try and flip him for like a crappy reliever and see if they get any value out of that, maybe.
Maybe. Or they could just DFA him. I mean, at this point, he's the fourth string catcher. Like,
yep.
His calling card is his defense, but now they think so highly of Murphy's defense that, you know, when Cervelli went down, they said, no, screw Romine, we're just going to call it Murphy, so... He seems to just take up a roster spot. So,
yeah.
Sorry, Romine. All right. Now to infielders, Steven Drew.
No.
I enjoyed the trade deadline move to get him just because Kelly Johnson was not good. And it seemed like Drew would bounce back, but he just completely lost this year. This is just a season of hell for him. So,
yeah.
No.
I don't think he's this bad, but I don't want him back.
Now, if you're going after, like, a shortstop, go after, like, J.J. Hardy or someone more legitimate. Can you imagine how pissed, like, the fans would be if Steven Drew came back and was the opening day shortstop?
Yeah, even though he probably wouldn't be that bad, but...
No, it'd just be funny to hear, like, oh, what's... He hits 165 and they re-sign him?
I can definitely hear people calling him Mike Francesa and saying that.
It's like, I don't understand how to do that.
Well, you don't get it. They need more guys with more RBIs. How is Ellsbury the guy with the highest RBIs on the team?
Yeah, that is pretty weird. Chase Headley.
It would be fine.
I would be okay with it, but I don't know how he would fit into this whole A-Rod mess.
Mm-hmm. Matt F., you said you'd do it?
I mean, yeah, I agree. I don't quite understand how he fits in, but I just don't trust A-Rod to stay healthy.
Yeah, that's a fair point, just because he's such a wild card at this point. He's had two hip surgeries. Who even knows that they'll even still play him at third base that much? So,
yeah. I mean, well, I don't even know if he'll get past spring training. That's
a challenge in and of itself.
Like, if he's really bad in spring training, they may just cut him.
I don't think they'd cut him out of spring training, but like they might.
Well, but, you know, they
might.
Like,
maybe, I think they would probably just hope he gets hurt or something like that.
I mean, here's the thing though: Headley, especially after this half season, is going to look for a multi-year deal. Like, he's going to look for 3-4 years.
I don't know if he's going to get that though.
He may, just because of the fact there's no draft pick attached to him now, and he's shown to be an elite defender with a decent bat, which is pretty good. He could get a decent amount of money. He could get $15 million a year.
I don't know. I don't think he'd get that much. I know free agency is a competitive market. I just don't see anyone giving Chase Headley that much.
Well, the thing is the only other third baseman on the market is Pablo Sandoval. And
I think people would give Sandoval more.
Yes, they would. And he also has a draft pick attached. So if Headley's getting less and he doesn't have a draft pick attached, it's not going to be that much less.
Yeah, no, that's
the only thing, is if he's going to get a decent contract, which is at least going to be a decent size, do they really want him being backup third baseman, backup first baseman? That's a lot of money to pay. And the thing is, A-Rod's contract still has a bunch of time left, so... Is that really going to be his permanent role? They're going to pay him a decent size of money?
It almost seemed like the Martin Prado move was a move made so that maybe they wouldn't have to worry about bringing back Headley. I think they'd be interested in talking to him, but it doesn't seem like it's in the cards.
Which is unfortunate, because he's really perfect for the team at the moment, and yeah, he'd be a perfect fit to stay, you know, barring this whole A-Rod thing, he would have been a perfect fit.
Yeah. Like, if he ends up getting a contract that's, like, way higher than I think he's worth, then, you know, thanks for the couple months, but farewell.
Thanks for the fish.
Yep.
Thanks for your brilliant glove work. He can pick it at third, man.
Yeah.
Who is this, number two? Derek Jeter guy?
Resign him at league minimum.
I think he might be retiring. Have you heard?
That's the word.
Yeah, there have been rumors.
There have been rumors that this is Derek Jeter's last year. You can't tell from all the friggin' flags hung up all around the stadium.
Season 2 watch.
4-3. I heard he almost homered tonight. I didn't actually see that.
It was close. He hit it like 398 feet at 399.
Yeah.
399 wall. It was really funny because like his parents thought it was a home run too. And it wasn't.
His parents are like, damn it, Derek. It's the only reason it hadn't come out at this point.
I was, like, out of the room and walked back in as it was, like, heading towards the warning track. I was like, oh, who hit that? Then they panned it. It was like Jeter. I was like, what?
How?
Why was that not a ground out?
Oh, well. So, yeah, Jeter's retiring. Prado's coming back. A-Rod's probably coming back. This is going to be weird. But, okay. I'm not ready. It's going to be so weird. All right. Then Brendan Ryan, he'll probably be back just because he's on a multi-year deal. And he's, as far as backup infielders go, he's a useful guy to have. I want no part of him as starting shortstop, and I don't think the Yankees do either, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be back. Teixeira will obviously be back. Zealous Wheeler.
He will be back.
He will be back and in the minors, I'm sure.
Yes. Someone got in a big fight with me on Twitter. Yeah. Not a big fight with me on Twitter, but got mad at me on Twitter because I was saying what a huge upgrade Chase Headley would be over Zealous Wheeler. They got mad because they knew, like, Zealous Wheeler personally, and they were like, no, Zealous Wheeler is a great player and is going to be great at the major league level. It's like, such a great teammate and is better than everybody else. So, by that virtue, Zealous Wheeler will be starting in front of A-Rod next year.
Oh, okay.
And will be a 5-WAR player.
Okay, well, you heard it here first, everyone.
Breaking.
Yeah. Zealous Wheeler go back to serving minor league depth, I suppose. I guess they might even put him off the 40-man roster for all we know. He was just kind of a sub. We'll always have that one home run in your debut game.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was cool.
And then the pre-dead Tanaka, like patting him on the arm. That was kind of adorable.
Yes, that was great. That was one of Tanaka's last games.
It was the second to last game.
Yep.
It was like when he knew that, like, that was when he was getting hurt. Because he had kind of a bad start.
Let's not think about this. All right.
Yeah, so.
Beltran will be back. Ellsbury will be back. Brett Gardner will be back. Sleet Heathcott will be dead. Anton Richardson. He's a lock.
To run from first base to second base.
My understanding is that, yes, he is a person, a human being with a pulse, kind of. Yeah, he's...
He exists.
Yeah, he exists. The idea of him is acknowledged.
He exists in my head.
I thought it was funny when he, like, went in to pinch run for Jeter the other day, and Jeter was like, what?
I'm not fast enough.
I'm not fast.
I run to first base.
Busted out of the box. Ichiro, bye. Go back to Seattle
But what about the Ichiro role at Yankee Stadium? How are they going to sell that?
How are they going to market Ichi 3K?
Ichi-K.
Let's see. I just had a curiosity checking how close Ichiro is to the 3,000.
I remember when they signed that deal. It was like, oh, he might get 3,000 when he's here, and then no.
He's 170 hits away.
He's going to be like Pete Rose and just keep playing until he gets a...
I mean, he might not, though, for all we know. I mean, he might... I feel like he'll
probably... He won't get there because even in a full season last year, he had 136 hits.
Yeah.
And he has a little bit less than a hit per... A hit every, like, 2 hits every 3 games. So, yeah, he would have to play a lot of games to get, like, that many hits.
I feel like his quest
what you're saying is
die like Johnny Damon's.
Yeah, he would have to play.
What you're saying
like...
is 2-year deal with the Phillies.
Oh yeah, he'll make the outfield younger.
Him, and Ben Revere will be 1-2 in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Because hits.
Yeah, so Johnny Damon is actually even further from 3,000 when he was still trying to hang on, but. Ichiro is 170 away. Maybe he goes back to Seattle and like plays as a reserve, or maybe just plays somewhere else as a reserve. But I just can't imagine anyone giving him like a deal to like start again. So either way,
he'd have to play like 200 games or something, 200 or 250 games to get to 3,000. So he'd have to play until he's like 40. He'll be like a Mr. 3,000 basically.
Yeah. Well, I do kind of hope this isn't the end for him. just because I don't want him in New York, but I kind of don't want him to see him end his career this way. Let him go somewhere else where maybe fans won't be as upset at him like I am. I enjoy appreciating Ichiro from afar when I can just see the occasional highlight of him doing hits like the one he had today and not all the other plate appearances where he's not walking and he has terrible power. Let's play a game. Who do you think has a higher slugging percentage, Derek Jeter or Ichiro?
I'm going to say Ichiro.
Yeah, me too.
You're correct.
Yeah, because I know that Jeter is like the second lowest isolated power, so
he also has a lower on base percentage than Ichiro.
Yeah, I believe that.
305 with a 308 on base, or 305 on base percentage with 308 slugging compared to Ichiro's 326, 329.
Yeah, I know that Ichiro's had a better offensive season, even though it's been bad, but Derek Jeter's been really bad.
Probably also because he hasn't been, like, pushed into playing more than he should have. Except for when people are getting hurt.
And then when I'll talk casually to people, I'm like, yeah, he's been really terrible this year. Like, really? He's been like 260. I'm like, yeah, but he's like one double the whole year.
Hey, he has 15 doubles.
15 doubles. Wait, in like 600 plate appearances.
15?
Jeter has 15 doubles.
When?
Oh, whatever. The only person left is Chris Young, and he'll probably get a non-roster invitee or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the digger. He had a couple hits, so...
That was nice.
He wants to be a reserve outfielder, then go ahead. But I don't even know what the hell he's doing. He's literally been on the team for, like, just a few weeks, so... Okay, so that's the entire 40-man roster. Well, not the entire 40-man roster. Skip some minor leaguers, but pretty much everyone we talked about. So that'll probably do it for our topics, unless either of you guys have anything else.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, we can go. Would you rather go to the BREF segment or the tweet bag?
Yeah, we can go to the BREF segment.
All right. Go ahead, Madav.
Okay, so after last week's debacle, I went to try and find something that's a little more obscure, so if this is wrong, you won't know it.
Okay.
What I looked up is the players who have the most at-bats in Yankee career in their Yankee careers without, like, a particular type of hit. So what I, like, for example, what I looked up, the first one I have here is players with the most plate appearances without ever hitting a home run for the Yankees is George Moriarty.
Hmm. Sounds like a dead bowler guy.
1906 to 1908.
Yep.
Who had 1,075 at bats without ever hitting a home run. And he was like a super utility guy. He played everywhere except for pitcher and catcher for the Yankees. He actually got MVP votes twice in his career later when he was with the Tigers. But 25th on the list was Tony Womack, one of Andrew's favorites.
Oh, the legend.
Yes.
I love so much that his legacy is and sucked so bad that they had to call up Cano.
Then if we... Oh, wait, hold on. We're about to eliminate pitchers. His first for triples is Whitey Ford. But...
Oh, he never hit a triple?
That's not correct.
That's a bummer.
Apparently not.
Did you know that Mel Stottlemyre once hit an inside the park grand slam? Oh god, if only there was video.
That like hit all three monuments?
Probably.
It's like a pinball machine that like dings ding, when it hits off.
Go ahead, sorry.
First place for triples is Nick Johnson.
No. How did he never get to third base?
He's still running there now.
But let me run through the top 12 of this list, because it is something special.
Please do.
12th, Vernon Wells. 11th, Andrew Jones. 10th, Rondell White.
Oh my god.
9th, Chris Stewart. 8th, Jose Molina.
I'm stunned he never had a triple.
Seventh, Ruben Amaro.
Rube.
Sixth, Joel Spinner.
Ah, he was a catcher.
Fifth, Jack Clark. Fourth was Cecil Fielder. Third, Robin Ventura. And then second, Russell Martin.
Russell Martin. That actually is a little surprising. I thought he wasn't, like, terribly slow for a catcher, I don't think. But I guess...
No.
I guess it just never happened.
Beltran's already at 14th.
Oh. Yeah, if he ever gets a triple, I'll be stunned. Oh my god, Russell Martin has not hit a triple since 2007.
So, Mark Teixeira has a triple today. Russell Martin does not have one in 7 years.
Jesus. That was so long ago. Joe Torre wasn't even managing the Dodgers yet.
Figure, like, Pittsburgh. Hit one someplace where you can make it third.
Like, McCutcheon got that inside the park home run today.
Yeah.
As far as doubles go, the player with the most at-bats without a double is actually a Hall of Famer. But it's as a manager, it's Bill McKechnie.
Oh, yeah. He was like, he managed the Pirates at some point, I think.
According to his Wikipedia, he's the first person ever to win a World Series as a manager with two different teams.
Good for him.
The aforementioned Zelis Wheeler is already 12th.
Yeah.
Okay, by far the funniest of these is first base. Because single. The player is Dave Kingman.
What is this for? For no steals?
Yeah.
No singles.
Oh. Single. No singles, man.
It's 27 at-bats, 4 home runs, 2 doubles, no singles.
That's so Kingman. He just...
Yeah.
That's all he did. He struck out or hit a home run. He didn't walk, really.
Nah, he was just 2 true outcomes.
Wow.
He's such a weird player. I think he's one of the weirdest players, to be honest. He had the weirdest career. He's like the definition of, like, basically if Peter O'Brien were to become a decent major league player, he would become Dave Kingman.
Yeah. Well, he'd also have to become like a giant asshole too.
That's true, but he would have to basically, you just hit like, you have like 70 grade power and basically like 40, 30 grade everything else.
This is a great stat. In Dave Kingman's final season in 1986, he hit 35 home runs. But he only had a 90 OPS plus. But even like back then, when people weren't really looking at that, or his 255 on base percentage all that much, no one wanted him back because he was such an asshole. Wow. And like, I heard a story that like he sent, like he was upset at some female Oakland beat writer, so he sent her a rat in a box and like named it the sports writer's name.
Ouch.
Yeah. So,
charming guy.
People were kind of done with him.
Well, the other funny thing about a lot of his stats is, like, the RBI totals, as inconsequential as they are, like, the RBI totals compared to how many home runs he had some of the years were, like, really funny. He'd have, like, 26 home runs and 78 RBIs. Like, somehow his RBI totals were, like, intense, like, ridiculously low, and his home run totals were really high.
Some players who appeared in Russell Martin's last triple game. Randy Wynn, Dave Roberts, Nomar, and Barry Bonds. Oh my god.
Okay, so I didn't do this one earlier, but I looked up who has the David Adams Award for most at-bats without a walk. Someone named Victor Matta in 84 and 85 made it 83 plate appearances without drawing a walk.
My goodness. That is dedication. What did he do? Was he? I assume he probably wasn't any good at hitting either.
I mean, it's not like only 36 career games. He hit 312 and 416 slugging. Small sample size, but that's not terrible.
That's true.
That was his entire career, too. Those 36 games.
Just he only played 36 games?
Yeah, played for the Yankees in 84 and 85, and then that was it.
Wow. Did you hear about Ben Revere's streak without a walk?
Is it comparable to his home run one?
No, nothing could compare to that. But he went like 170 plate appearances between walks. This year.
Yeah, he only has a 2.2% walk rate.
This year, when he might win the National League batting title.
Yeah, he only has 12 walks.
Do you have more in your B-Ref segment, or was that...
I have one more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fire.
Intentional walks. When you factor out all the people... Well, when you go through this, obviously, like, Lou Gehrig is number one, but obviously he doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. And intentional walks might not have been tracked.
Like, go through the people that... Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, when you go through people that actually have, like, a figure in, like, a number in their little area, as opposed to just, like, a blank square, it's Fred Stanley, who made it 1,157 plate appearances before being intentionally walked. Or he never was, I'm sorry. 1,157. Which, I mean, probably not like it was as prominent then, but still, like, never, like, the scenario came up where it's like, okay, let's just put him on and try and, like, set up a double play.
Nope, they're like, no, we got this.
Like, nah, we're just going to pitch to him anyway. Makes sense, because he had a career OPS of the Yankees of 565, so...
Oh my god, that's terrible. Oh my god, I'm looking at his stats now. He's on the team for 8 years, and he only had 18 doubles. How did
played in 117 games 1 year.
Wow.
Hey, 1975, 117 games, 284 plate appearances. That's not a great ratio.
Though in one game against the Red Sox in 1978, he hit a grand slam. I bet the pitcher just walked off the mound after. Oh my god, it was Mike Torres. That's the same guy who gave the home run to Bucky Dent. That's a specialty. All right. So that was the last one, right?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. Now we can move on to the tweet bag. Not too much in the tweet bag this week. We got some questions on Twitter. One of them is a classic Cashman question about, like, how can anyone defend his job? Shouldn't results matter? Yes, you can say results do matter, but, I mean, I think if you look at his process this year, it was fine. And I think we've also talked about, I feel like we've probably talked about Cashman on this podcast enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, results are good, but at the same time, like, good processes lead to good results, but they can also lead to bad results. But you'd rather have the good process than bad process leading to good results, to be honest.
Next question. Do you think the Yankees should get the front office? And what Yankee free agents do you think the Yankees should keep? I think we already went over the free agents earlier in the podcast. As far as the front office goes, I don't know. I don't feel exactly comfortable judging the front office from, like, outside, just because we only know so much about what's going on there.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Mark Newman, because I don't really think that player development has been that great, but, I don't know, maybe he makes great pastries.
Or maybe, again, like, maybe the process that he goes through is good, and, like, the organization feels the process that he's doing is sound, but it hasn't worked out. I mean, that's true. I mean, it's possible. It could just be as well that the Cardinals' process isn't as good and they just got lucky. Like, we don't really know.
All right. Next question from Aaron Shelby Rose. I've run out of baseball stuff this year. Which of you would do better on Dancing with the Stars?
I don't think me.
Yeah, I vote Matt P.
Me, I'm not a dancer, but I guess, like, I could do it if, like, I was in it.
The P can stand for pirouette, so.
Yes, I mean, I'm not a dancer, but, like, if I had to do it, and I was like, all right, you're in it, I would make my way through it.
Yes.
I would wade my way through that.
All right. Next one, from Greg. Did you consider hiding under your bed after Mark Teixeira hit that triple? It was pretty I don't want to say mind-numbing. Mind-numbing sounds bad, but, like, mind-blowing. Yeah.
Yeah, when I realized it was him, I think I did a double take.
It's like, what? Mark Teixeira is on third base.
He doesn't go on third base.
The ball wasn't, like, thrown into the stands and he's on third base.
Next, from No Mobbles, he says, why?
The answer to that is because.
The answer to that is hashtag Pride Power Pinstripes.
Yeah. Regal Yes music. Bum, 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 bum.
Answer is the shrugging, smirking, smiley.
Yes, yeah.
And from Alex Gilfillan on Twitter, how close do the Yankees get in the wild card before they lose their last 8 games and destroy all hope?
I think they'll get back to within 3 games at some point. That's as close as they'll get.
Yeah.
You know, I bet they'll even get to 2 games. I'm feeling bold. Just because they like teasing us this year. Like, in another, if Michael Kay had any energy left, he would be able to refer to tonight's win as like, oh, this is going to set them on the right path. But, like, obviously, not really. I think they'll have their hands full facing the Orioles all those games.
Oh, yeah.
Even if the Orioles don't really have much to play for, except for, like, home field advantage boosting, yeah. I guess. I don't know. Okay. And last question, again from Greg, this time on the site. What positives are you hoping come out of the Yankees September? Playoffs or no playoffs? I'd like to see Tanaka pitch and pitch pain-free.
That would eclipse all other potential positives combined.
Yes, I would also like to see Brian Mitchell pitch and see what he can do. I'd be interested.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a chance he'll get a spot start in that doubleheader on Friday. I don't think they've announced the starters for that game yet.
That'd be cool. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know who else would start. I mean, it's weird.
Ichiro.
But yeah, Tanaka would be a big... Just anything from Tanaka would be outstanding. I don't really have many other hopes for September. Don't finish under 500. That would be nice.
Yeah. I think it would take some real doing to make it so they finish under 500.
Right now they're 74 and 69. Assuming
by their standards.
Yeah, right now they're 74 and 69. So they would have to go 6 and 13. Yeah. I think they got this.
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe yeah, that's more doable than I thought, but I still think they'll
sneak. Yeah. They've never played that horrifically. I don't think.
No.
Maybe I'm speaking too soon, but
no. I don't think they're gonna be that bad.
I think like even at their worst, like they go like 2-5 in a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's like as bad as it's gotten this year.
Okay. So that'll do it for our tweet bag questions. Thank you for your submissions, as always. Now we'll move on to the Yankee and the Mitre of the Week. Matt F., your Yankee of the Week.
I'll give it to Michael Pineda.
It's fair.
It was a really nice start. Was it Friday night before? But the offense had to ruin it for him.
Yeah, well...
Dying.
I'd give it to him, but he didn't have the will to win.
Yeah.
He should have motivated Chase.
You're right. My Yankee of the Week is now Hawk Carlson.
Yeah. Yeah. He should have motivated Chase Headley to not make an error, and then, you know, problem solved. that was a painful loss. But Michael Pineda was brilliant. More of that Pineda, please. All right, Matt P., your Yankee of the Week.
Mine is Brandon McCarthy because he did have the will to win.
He did have the will to win.
And that is much better than Michael Pineda, who just couldn't eke out the win. So that's why. No, yeah, it's because Brandon McCarthy is pitching pretty well and is still pitching pretty well. And, yes, hashtag resign McCarthy.
Would support. All right. My Yankee of the Week is going to be Jacoby Ellsbury. Still hitting pretty well. One of the few bright spots left in this lineup. So, yay Ellsbury. Think we should give... We are going to give, like, Teixeira or Headley Yankees of the Week because they weren't that great. But honorary Yankees of the Week for that one game against the Red Sox where they came back against Koji. That might have been the most exciting win of the season.
Yeah, definitely.
That or the Beltran walk-off.
That was pretty cool, too.
Yeah. And Chris Young, good for you on not being dead the last 2 days.
Yeah.
Just to laugh at the Mets a little bit. All right. Matt F., your Mitre of the week.
It's Derek Jeter again.
But season two watch.
Home runs to not watch.
Retupect. Do you have no retupect?
There's that shirt I found yesterday. I don't know if anyone listening saw the shirt I found in a store yesterday that was the number 2 RUE love that said like Jeter.
Oh, yeah,
on
yeah
it.
I saw that. Yeah.
Did you put it on Twitter?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
All right, let me check this out, and I'm going to post it on the site the next day, too. Let's see. Oh, here we go. True love. Oh, my God. That is... Oof.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. All right. Matt P., your Mitre of the week.
Steven Drew.
God.
He has been so bad.
Like, unfathomably bad.
He's had an 8 WRC plus over the last week. Which is like Jose Molina bad.
Wow. RIP, your game, dude. What happened? I mean, at some point, Russ can only play so much of a role.
Like, yeah.
Why? Just why would you do this? All right. My Mitre of the week is going to have to go to Chris Capuano. So he got bombed tonight especially, but also in his last start. He only went 4 1/3 innings.
Yeah.
And then he only added 1/3 of an inning to his week total tonight. With he was out by before the first inning even ended. And then he was outpitched by Chase Whitley and Preston Claiborne. So that's like automatic Mitre of the week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do either of you guys have anything else to add?
No, I think that's it.
Nope.
All right. So that'll do it for us on the Pinstripe Alley podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley. You can follow our GIFs account on Twitter at PSA_GIFs. Follow Matt Provenzano at Twitter at MattProv94. Follow Matt Ferencik on Twitter at MattF15. Like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/PinstripeAlley. Rate and review us on iTunes. Love to hear feedback. And please submit to the Tweetbag whenever we put the post up. And we'll be back with another episode, the podcast next week. Hopefully the Yankees aren't eliminated yet. Would be nice to stay alive for a little bit more. And what do you guys think? Think Jeter's going to finally hit his first Yankee Stadium homer in the next week or no?
No.
No, I'm going to bet on no.
Skeleton watch will continue.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, yeah, I mean, he's almost definitely not going to because he has one home game left and then he's on the road until next Thursday. So maybe he comes back to Yankee Stadium in like a scrimmage against the South Bronx Little League team and he hits the Yankee Stadium special.
No, he won't. He'll like hit like a slow roller past the mound and beat it out.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, well. Well, that'll do it for us. We've got the series against the Orioles coming up, then the series against the Rays. And, yeah, hopefully Yankees aren't eliminated. And that's what it's come to for us at this point. So, yippee!
Go Yankees!
Go Yankees, go Yaseball!